You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Okay, the second half of our show continues. We'll get some more information on Tommy Rees, how he did at Notre Dame, what Alabama fans will be excited about a little bit later this hour. Mitch is in South Carolina. Hey, Mitch.
46 more months in the booth.
Mitch, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good.
I want to ask you something, Paul. Why does anything that comes out of Dabo's mouth surprise you?
Well, I just found this
I
most
mean, honestly,
recent.
You have been, you have, over the years, every time he says something, you find a way to respond to it. That's what he wants.
Oh, he does? Okay. I'm glad to hear that.
He wants attention.
Well, I didn't realize that. Now I do.
But let me also point out something to you.
Poor Dabo.
Poor Dabo.
And poor Paul.
Hello, Dabo.
And poor Randy. Shut up.
Ooh. Did he tell Randy to shut up? Did you hear that, Randy?
Uh-huh.
Why is he shooting across my back?
Mitch just told you to hush.
I didn't say hush.
Well, that was my word, not yours. He said shut up, Randy.
But let me say this, and please listen for a second.
Okay.
Pay attention to Dabo. Pay attention to Nick. They say things differently. They respond to things differently. Their ideology is about the same.
You think so?
Nick came out one way against the NIL. Dabo came out another way against the NIL.
Well, I think Dabo was first. Dabo was in fact, Dabo came
but
out
I'm
before
saying,
Nick did, yeah.
I'm saying.
I agree. No, listen, all seriousness, and we'll cut the jokes out for a minute. I think they do see things. Dabo is very much an old school person in how he views the game, especially the integrity of the game, and so is Saban.
And right now, Dabo needs to have a sore tail end. We shouldn't be losing three games back to back.
No.
So he should feel some kind of way. But I mean, why does it surprise you when he says something, country folk or?
Well,
all shucks?
Hey, I'm not surprised. I'm essentially responding to him by saying, Dabo, no, I don't want to hear this right now. You just lost to your biggest rival. And to Tennessee, don't tell fans the way it used to be. And in that interview, Mitch, he talked about how he like the thrill is gone. Well, the thrill is gone because fans live in the present. They really don't care what happened two or three years ago.
The thrill might be gone for him, but I'm not surrendering.
Well, for that, Mitch, I applaud you. Thank you for the call. Swami is up next.
Well, hey, big guy. Thanks for taking my call, Paul.
Thank you.
Paul, the Swami has a question for you tonight.
Okay.
And I want you to be honest with me. Who's the biggest suck-ass on this show? Hmm. Is it Ron from Virginia or is it Matt from San Antonio? I mean, inquiring minds want to know.
Well, I don't know. I think there's more competition than just those two, don't you?
Well, I agree with you there. And, Paul, what about your Heisman pick this year, Paul? I mean, really, Paul, you need to be tied and pistol whipped and brung out back for voting for that damn USC quarterback you voted for instead of Stenson Bennett. And, I mean, I know the Heisman vote You know, it should be at the end of the year. I mean, what's the deal with that, Paul?
Well, I'll tell you what,
why
Swami,
do they take the Heisman vote so damn early?
Well, because it's always been that way, Swami. Every single time it's ever been awarded.
I know that, but why?
Well, because that's how all awards are. The MVP in baseball and in basketball and football are all based on the regular season. They're not based on the postseason.
And you got this Stetson Bennett here that is a two-time national champion.
I don't care. Listen, I'm not really concerned what Stetson Bennett did after the fact. I'm telling you, based on the regular season, he barely got into my ballot. So I'm not apologizing for Stetson Bennett.
Absolutely amazing, Paul. Well, that's absolutely amazing.
By the way, Swami, it's not so amazing considering that he came in third. It wasn't like I was the only one.
I mean, that's even more amazing, Paul.
No, I don't think it was at all. I don't think. By the way, he wasn't the best player.
Yeah, he was.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, Swami, let's do this. Next year, when the Heisman is awarded, you can call me and tell me who you voted for. But I said who I voted for, and you obviously seem like you're still upset about it. Swami has left the building.
I'm all right.
Did you say for good?
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll be that lucky.
So don't let the door hit him.
Oh man. Swami.
Man, he's coming hot.
He suggested I get pistol whipped over a Heisman vote. Mike is up next. Hey Mike. Mike, you are on the air.
Is this Mike?
Yes, Mike. This is Mike.
Oh, mine's not Mike.
Well, okay. Let's start over again. My first question is, what is your name?
Mac McCoy.
Mac.
It was hard for you to call. Just call me Poncho.
So your name, Poncho. I like it. Great song, Poncho and Lefty.
Well, I had. My daddy was called Poncho. My brother was called Poncho. His brother was called Poncho, and I'm called Poncho. I'm the last one.
The three Ponchos.
Yeah.
But what I was going to tell you, who is Saban going to hire?
Isn't Poncho Spanish?
Yep.
Huh? I can tell you who he's going to hire. He's a head coach. He's going to hire anybody he wants to.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And Kirby Smart was the best defense coordinator we ever had.
He was good.
But he has a right to fire somebody and hire something new. That's the way life is.
Well, Poncho, I would have to agree with you. Well, he hired Kevin Steele.
Yeah, I knew that.
Okay. You think that's a good chance, good choice?
Where was he at before he come out?
Well, Kevin was at Miami last year, and prior to that, he was at Auburn.
I see. This stuff about hollering at one team and another.
Yes.
I got to understand them boys on both sides want to win.
Yeah, they do.
And a lot of folks put coaches down and blame them when they all win, and some of them ain't got the material. I know Alabama hurt this past year.
Yeah, yes, sir.
But they will be back. Saving no food for winning a 7 national championship.
No, he's a genius.
He is a genius.
I just said he's a genius.
You know, I called a while back. I was the one that called about that fella called in and said he made $13 an hour in the coal.
Yes, sir. Coal I do remember that.
Buddy, I'd be getting my butt out of there.
What does a coal miner make?
In Kentucky.
Right.
It's not a union mine.
Oh, okay. So Alabama has union, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought they did.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
Yes, sir. UMW.
With Drummond, I've been out of the mines.
Right.
April be 20 years.
Oh, well, yeah. Mike, I used to work in the building in Birmingham that Drummond owned, so Drummond headquarters. Uh-huh. So I saw Gary Neal all the time. He was the head of Drummond.
Well, the reason they took me out of the mines.
Why'd they take you out of the mines?
I've got seven rods in my back.
Oh, my goodness.
I've got two titaniums in my plate from three ruptures up there.
Oh, my goodness.
And I cut my left ear off. I had to put it back on and work.
Hmm.
And,
now, Mike, where were you? I mean, I know Alabama's got a number of mines. Which one were you? Were you up in the one near Jasper, or were there?
It's in they're on the Walk County side mining.
Right, right.
But it's down there close to Mulberry Forks.
Okay, done. That's I know they got a couple of mines over there that Drummond used to
mine.
Yeah,
this is Peabody bought Drummond out.
Okay. I didn't realize
Peabody
that.
Ain't hurt, and they making mega bucks down there in South America. You know that as well.
Yeah, I remember when Drummond got into, was it Columbia? Is that where they had all that?
That's right.
Right, yeah.
I heard that they were going fixing to go into another country.
Okay. Yeah, but listen, Mike, how are you? I mean, with all these things that have happened to you, how are you doing?
Well, I worked up until the bypasses.
Right.
And when I had the bypasses, a couple months after I come back from work.
Right.
Blood pressure running 205 over 135.
That's high.
They done one of them arteriograms.
Right.
And told me and my wife that he ought to be dead.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not going to talk blood pressure, but if you go over, that's in outer space.
It is, but that's what they done that arteriogram, so I had 100% clogged, 198% clogged, and I had no idea.
Yeah, that's pretty much your, I mean, I've been down this road before. You don't live with that. Hey, listen, you be well. You take care of yourself. And I'm glad you made it through. Not many people make it through that. We'll take a break. We have Pete Sampson at the bottom of the hour. And we are coming right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Drew is up next as we continue here. Good afternoon, Drew.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We're doing well, thank you.
Hey, good. I just had two questions. One, thank you for so much for letting the fan have a voice on your show. And I just wonder, is there ever a point that you ever get nervous of what the fan might ask? And two, many years ago when you started, back in the days of the Birmingham News and the Post, did you ever see yourself where you are now, and do you ever wake up and just pinch yourself saying, man, this is what I do for a living?
Well, Drew, the second part of that question is no. I if you had told me at the beginning of my career, I would have been happy to be the local writer in the town. When I was covering sports in college, I thought the guys that covered it for the local newspaper had the greatest jobs in the world. Like, what else would you want to do? As far as the first question, I don't get nervous. I look at every call to me as a new adventure. It's what I really love. The interviews are fine, and I'm not being dismissive, but it's the interaction that to me is what this show is about. And I will always say that until the final show we ever do.
Sure. I love you, and I think that you just allow the common Joe to have a voice.
Well, I appreciate that very much. I mean, we've been through a lot on this program collectively, and you know that because you obviously have heard it for a while. But the biggest challenge, I think, was transferring what we did on radio to television, and there are many who still don't like it. But it has expanded our reach significantly, and I think there are more people that can participate, which I think ultimately is really good.
Sure. All right. I just want to tell you, and that's it, and have a good day, Paul, and we love you.
Thank you very much. That means a lot, Drew. You take care of yourself. Randy. Not you. Randy is in Florida. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Okay. I need three questions real quick. Two in the football. Let's see. How good is that quarterback going to be for Florida next year? He didn't do too good in the bowl game.
I would say there are some nervous people about him.
Okay. And the other thing is, don't you think, you might disagree with me, but don't you think Richardson could have played another year and got a little more experience before he went into the pros? He still had a lot to learn, right?
Yeah, I think he has a tremendous amount to learn. Here's the fly in that ointment, though. The scouts have him ranked very high, as you know. He will be a first-round pick, and I think he just took stock of, do I really want to stick around here any longer, or do I want to get in the NFL, you know, maybe have a rocky beginning, but start progressing at a completely different level in maybe even a better system. And Dan Mullen said this to me a couple weeks ago. He said he's never had a more talented athlete. Nobody has ever done some of the things that remember, Dan Mullen also coached Cam Newton, Tim Tebow, Dak Prescott. I say that those quarterbacks all are different, but in terms of the raw ability of Anthony Richardson, it is untold, and I think that's why someone will take a chance on him probably in the first 10 picks of the draft.
Okay. And the other one is Gator basketball, Jafon Johnson. They could never find out what was wrong with him, and he was on the bench for two years coaching, and Mike White gave him the game ball when he beat Florida State. But then now I see he's playing with Kansas State now.
Yeah, he's playing well.
I guess he's doing good.
He is. We had
what happened there? I wonder why. How come they didn't keep him or something before to stay in Florida?
Yeah, really, I don't know. But I know he's playing very well. Who did we have on the other day from Florida?
Castleton?
Castleton. We had him on, and he told me they got together after the game and really had a great visit, and they're extremely close friends. So, yeah, I wish I knew the answer to that. I'll ask Mike White when I see him next.
It's a shame about Florida. Florida in basketball and football. Years ago, back when they had Kevin Noah and all that basketball, and then they had T-Bone for the football. They've done real well.
I don't know why Mike struggled with him. Obviously, he's at Georgia now, but I really don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, but I mean, Florida used to have good, real good teams years ago, but everything changes. Time changes.
I tell you what, though, I like what I see at Florida right now. I think it's that's a situation where I think both programs did better. I think a change was necessary, and it was a very seamless change. And I think Georgia got better, and I think Florida will ultimately be in good shape. Thanks for the call. I mean, I think we saw the first indicator of that the other day with the Tennessee win. Quick break. We have a conversation about the new coordinator at Alabama coming up next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So who is Tommy Rees? We know he played football at Notre Dame. He coached there. Brian Kelly wanted him to leave with him, and now he's working for Nick Saban. Pete Sampson knows the story very well. He covers college football for The Athletic. He's also spent a lot of time covering Notre Dame. Pete, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. Let's take a deep dive. I know you've already done it in your piece in The Athletic, but tell the audience, if you could, as we say hello to you, who is Tommy Rees and what's he all about?
I mean, he's a football lifer. I mean, somebody who grew up around the game. His dad was in scouting and out in UCLA, Terry Donahue's staff out there. And, you know, he spent really the last 13 years of his life, 10 of them have been at Notre Dame, 4 as a player, 6 as a coach, quarterback's coach, offensive coordinator. You know, to be an OC at this level at age 30, you know, he's somebody who's sort of ahead of his time a little bit in terms of understanding football. But, has never been in a position like he is now where, you know, he's always been a program here at Notre Dame that's trying to scale the mountain, not the program that's at the top of the mountain. So that comes with a whole set of different challenges for him.
Pete, let me go back a year and a couple of months. He had the opportunity, as many did at Notre Dame, to leave, to head south with Brian Kelly. What caused Tommy Rees to stay there?
Well, I mean, Brian Kelly wanted him to go, and Rees was ready to go. He was headed to Baton Rouge. Notre Dame, I think, adjusted how it viewed paying top-level coordinators. And so they made it economic sense for him to stay. And so he chose to stay at Notre Dame. And I think that once the sort of finances got taken off the board, then it was a question of, well, I can go with Brian Kelly and basically be the same coach I've been for the last 5 years at Notre Dame, just with different colors, or I can stay at Notre Dame, even though it's the same place, and do a different job, because suddenly he had autonomy under a defensive head coach with Marcus Freeman. And I think that Rees really got to sort of flex a little bit last season in some spots, help put the staff together. You know, when you're an offensive coordinator or an offensive head coach, you're not quite the full coordinator sometimes. And I think that Rees got a taste of that last season under Marcus Freeman. So ultimately that was why he decided to stay. But I think it's also the reason he decided to leave. It's a professional development question. And there's you know, Frank, there's nobody in college football better at finishing an offensive coordinator's development than Nick Saban.
Pete, I know it seemed like within moments of Kelly leaving, everything seemed to coalesce around Marcus Freeman. But you point out that at least for, you tell us, for a few moments, Reese was considered for the head coaching job at Notre Dame. Explain.
You know, he got essentially what I would call a courtesy interview. I wouldn't say that he was considered as much as he thought he should have been, perhaps more considered right. than he was. And I think that got him thinking about, like, okay, if Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director, doesn't really see me as a viable candidate here, like, what do I have to do to become one? And I think that sort of led him down this path of professional development. I was like, okay, well, I can have more autonomous offense at Notre Dame without Brian Kelly. Now I can go work at Alabama with Nick Saban. I mean, it's a way to round out his resume or enhance his resume, and that, you know, following Brian Kelly around to the next stop just wouldn't have done.
Obviously, Saban had some exposure to Tommy Reese a couple of years ago in the playoffs. You can't help but know who the coordinator at Notre Dame is. But what do you know, if anything, about how these two came together?
Well, I know that Reese and Steve Sarkisian have a relationship, and I think they compared notes in the 2020 season when Notre Dame upset Clemson up here in double overtime. Alabama was watching, because not because of any curiosity for Tommy Reese, because they figured they're going to have to play Clemson again. And they sort of saw how Notre Dame attacked it. They did sort of these half sugar huddles to combat Brent Venables and the way that that defense sort of deals fines. And Alabama took notes. So I think that they appreciated the work that Reese had done, even if there wasn't a personal connection. But I think that Reese and Sarkisian at least knew each other a little bit, even if Reese and Nick Saban did not.
So we know what Alabama has been doing in recent years, and for good reason. They've had, I don't know, maybe in modern college football history, for the best back-to-back-to-back-to-back quarterbacks anybody's ever had. What do you think, without knowing who the quarterback is going to be, what do you think a Tommy Reese offense is going to look like as we see the next iteration of Alabama football?
He's definitely a players over plays. You know, he doesn't get in love with his own scheme, his own playbook. You know, if you've got Michael Mayer, you know, most offensive coordinators don't want to have their tight end be the leading receiver. He had no problem with that in Notre Dame because he had a first-round pick at tight end. So I think he's going to have to get in and familiar with their personnel real quick. I know Alabama's receivers are not what they were 4 or 5 years ago, but that was, like, historically good. But I still think Alabama's receivers are better than what anything he's worked with at Notre Dame in terms of the depth and the quality at the top. So we never saw him be, like, a full pass it around, three wide, spread it out all the time. He liked to lean in sort of 12 personnel. But the thing I think you'll see a lot, regardless of who's on the field, is there's going to be a lot of pre-snap motion. There's going to be a lot of window dressing. It's going to be sort of pro style that way, where he's going to put a lot on these players to understand how to win before the snap. That's what Notre Dame had to do, because their talent was always not at the highest level with Ohio State, or Clemson, or USC. Or Alabama in the past. So that Reese really tries to win before the snap as much as possible, and I think you'll sort of see him bring that down to Alabama too and kind of build off what was already there.
Talking to Pete Sampson, obviously, you know, he has a knack for this. We saw Sam Hartman head there. I'm sure Reese had a lot to do with that. He will be dealing with an open slate at Alabama because nobody really knows who the quarterback is going to be. But that is right in his wheelhouse, is it not, based on the last couple of years at Notre Dame?
Yeah, he's dealt with quarterback competitions each of the last 2 years. He's played through quarterback competitions. I think he knows how to deal with that and what it's like to go through one as a player. So I think that will serve him well down there. He's young enough that not that far removed from, you know, his freshman, sophomore year when he was going with Dane Chris, or his junior year when it was Everett Golson, who started against Alabama in the BCS title game. So I think that he's comfortable with that, but there is no doubt when Notre Dame's offense has been at its best, he's had an old quarterback, and it's, it's hard to sort of look at Alabama's roster and figure out how they're going to have an old quarterback next year. But that's when Reese's offense has been at its best.
Pete, finally, it's always a challenge for any coordinator to deal with Nick Saban, but he has dealt with Brian Kelly for many, many years. Describe how that relationship was, and does it get him prepared for what he will find in Tuscaloosa?
I think it's a pretty good warm-up. The play for Brian Kelly, he's one of the few quarterbacks that I ever saw give it back to Brian Kelly. His football IQ is high enough to do that. But I think that in terms of how he deals with players and just the way he operates, he's much more old school than your typical 30-year-old. I think that he will mesh with Nick Saban pretty well. But the pressure is on him. He's not coming there with a Power 5 head coaching job in his past or a Group of 5 head coaching job in his past. Like, he's a coach on the rise. So I think that this opportunity to really go all in, not married, no kids, like, it's all football for him all the time. So I think that this is probably as close to a pro job in college as he's going to get. And I think he's really going to relish that opportunity.
And finally, Pete, I'll try not to act like this show doesn't exist and the coordinators are daily fighter here on the grill, but coaching at Notre Dame seems like it prepares you for pretty much anything. What is it like to be the coordinator at Notre Dame during the good and bad times?
You know, it's probably similar to Alabama in terms of, you know, the pressure that are on. Obviously, the good times have not been as good and the bad times have been worse. But, you know, one of the things that Marcus Freeman did last year is he made the coordinators available every week. So when they faced Planet against Marshall and Stanford, Reese was in there the next Tuesday night to talk to us. So he knows what it's like to kind of take those bullets. So I think that he will deal with the pressure pretty well. I think maybe sometimes the chatter on message boards or Twitter, like, people around him will see that and it will get back to him. They'll have to sort of filter that out of Alabama, but Notre Dame's a pretty good warm-up for all that stuff.
Well, Pete, go ahead and tell him to block this channel on his office TV. He might be okay.
Yeah, I'll pass that along next time I chat with
him. Okay, I know you will. Pete, always great to have you. That fantastic conversation. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Paul.
Pete Sampson from The Athletic talking about Tommy Reese. And pretty impressive what he had to say from somebody who has covered that program and been around it for a long time. We'll take a break. Your reaction to all of that when we come back.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Susie is up next in Georgia. Hey, Susie.
Hi, Paul.
Hey there.
Good afternoon to you.
Thank you.
I have a question for you, but before I do that, I want to tell you I was out of town for 2 weeks up in Michigan, and my boyfriend could not get the Paul Feinbaum show on his TV. So I had to put my earphones in every day and listen to you through my phone. And
oh, my goodness.
It's just not – it was great. I had a lot of laughs by myself, but not being able to see you and your reactions or something, it's just so much better to be home and watching
Susie,
you on TV.
I'll try to be as diplomatic about this as possible. You know, your friend lives up there, is that correct?
Yes.
And
yeah.
I mean, we are
and
not
I live here.
We are not that hard to find on television.
No. Yeah, but if you only get certain stations,
yeah,
then
well,
you don't
but,
pay
but,
for
Well, here's my point. Yeah, I mean, you've got to be a big spender and maybe pay, you know, if you live in Michigan. Well, first of all, it depends on, I guess I'm assuming he's on cable up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you had DirecTV or Dish, or you would get us without having
that
to
would
pay
definitely
for it.
Get
yeah.
you, but it's
you know, I have to tell you, I mean, I don't know when you're going back, but I would hope your friend I mean, just I tell you what, find out what the extra fee is,
and, pay it.
And Randy has offered to pay.
Oh, thank you, Randy. No problem. But it was while I was up there, there were two calls, especially that just I mean, one of them was the guy that called you and said, "I'm a long time caller, first time listener."
Oh,
you
yeah,
remember
that?
That's
funny. Yeah.
I wanted so much to see your face when he said that, because I'm sure it was the opposite, but it, you know, that made me laugh out loud. And then there was a guy that called and was wanted to talk to Paul Feinbaum, and you said, "This is Paul," and he was saying, "No, I want to talk to Paul Feinbaum," and you said yes, and he was like, "Well, can I talk to him?" And you're going, "This is Paul." Do you remember that one that you finally got?
Yeah, I mean, I have had people before stop me, and they'll say, like, I'm at an airport. They'll say, "Has anyone ever told you you look like Paul Feinbaum?" And I will go, and that depends. No. If I'm in a big hurry, I might say, "Yeah, that really annoys me. I hate that guy," and just keep running.
keep running. mean, it was just two times that I really, really wanted to see your
face.
That
is funny. Well, Susie, I can't tell you what it means that you would go to Michigan in the wintertime and find a way to stay in touch with us.
Oh, yeah.
That must be true love.
I had my earbuds on while he was watching something else, or he was reading.
Does he does he understand? I'm assuming if he's in Michigan, there's a reason for that. Does he understand what we do here, or does he think this is all pretty silly?
No, he actually understands.
Okay.
And it's like, you know, the first time that you took my call back in December or whatever, and I told him, he said that was really cool, and I videoed part of it, and he just was so impressed.
Okay.
And liked it. But he just
sounds like a pretty
you
good
know,
guy.
He's not going to watch you so when I'm not there. But the question that I have for you is, in a couple years we're going to a 12
yeah,
team playoff,
2 years.
Right?
Yeah, 24.
Okay. And all right, Texas is coming over to the SEC, and Oklahoma is coming. Is it in a year, 2 years?
That is a good question. We thought it was going to be in 24, and now there's some debate. So the answer is we don't know. But definitely by 25, maybe by 24.
All right. Then what are we – then we're not the Southeast Conference anymore, because – Texas isn't in the Southeast, and Oklahoma's not in the Southeast. So what? How are they going to designate,
well,
or are they
I can
still
assure
going to call
Susie,
it?
Susie, we are not changing the name of the conference.
Well, that's good to know.
We're appreciative of them joining the SEC, but yeah, it's going to remain the Southeastern Conference because it's such a significant brand in college sports.
Oh. Absolutely. It's the best. I mean,
well, I was trying to avoid saying that, but I'm glad you did.
Yeah. Well, no, and I'm actually from Pennsylvania originally, and so, you know, it was always the Big Ten or,
sure.
You know, when I was growing up or whatever, but no, there's just no doubt about it. I just thought it was just interesting to me because I'm like, okay, well, we're still the SEC, but they're not.
Well,
know,
let me,
yet.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, conferences come and go. I mean, schools come and go, but the names usually stay the same. And yeah, I don't think that conversation has ever even entered anyone's mind in the SEC.
So will the same team stay in the East and West, or will
that will be the big difference, Susie. And this has not been made official yet, but it will be at some point. What you have now will disappear. You'll have a 16-team conference. There will be no divisions. Everything will be different. The best case scenario, the most likely scenario, would be that every school will have three permanent games and then the rest will rotate, which means that you will see someone, you will see every school within a two-year period. Well, right now you can go 8 or 9 years and not see one of your another SEC school, depending on who you are and where you and what division you're in.
Unless you're Tennessee, and you
so I mean, there is an enormous amount to be done, and they are. I think the commissioner was on a couple weeks ago or sometime. I mean, there have been so many different models of what the schedule is going to look like, but the divisions are going away. Hey, thank you very much. So great to hear from you, Susie. We'll take a break. We still have a conversation about Kevin Steele, how it's being received in Tuscaloosa, and what to expect on his third go-around under Nick Saban. Chase Goodbread will join us shortly.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.